Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. Bitcoin rival Ether hitting a new record high, going above or pushing above $4,400 earlier today after an important upgrade to the Ethereum network went live. We're seeing it at 44.22 right now. Ether, of course, the second largest digital currency by market cap, trailing Bitcoin. Let's bring in Angie Lau. She is Forecast.News CEO and editor-in-chief, joining us from Hong Kong. Angie, appreciate you staying up late on a Friday night. Talk to me about what we've been seeing in this space. Obviously, we're talking about a new high for Ether today, but also some big moves in the ETF space for Bitcoin futures.
Oh, absolutely right. I mean, the appetite really is voracious on the mainstream side, which is the onboard, on-ramp via Bitcoin ETF. But, you know, you mentioned a really important technical upgrade in Ethereum. And when we talk about prices in cryptocurrency, we often have to think about the fundamentals. And the fundamentals, in the same way that, you know, the audience is familiar with equities, is more technically based. And so what happened with Ethereum is that they upgraded to the Altair Beacon upgrade. And this is the second phase of the next phase of proof of stake. The whole thing is just going to be revamped and ready to go for ETH 2.0 in 2022. So this is the second upgrade that followed, you know, the big noise that we heard in December 2020. Yeah, that's right. Gosh, I'm getting my years mixed up. I'm trying to reference the pandemic here. But yeah, when we saw the London upgrade, that was just the first step. Altair gets us closer to proof of stake, which really fundamentally makes Ethereum much more efficient. And then, of course, you know, we're talking about DeFi, we're talking about NFTs, we're talking about metaverse, and all of this that Ethereum really is the market leader to underpin that technology, and the innovations that we're seeing in that space really speak to what we're seeing today with the 4,400 all-time high.
Yeah, Angie, I'm right there with you, man. I don't even know. Sometimes I don't know what day it is. So keeping track of years is becoming increasingly impossible. But when we talk about Ether too, I mean, we saw what happened with Bitcoin futures, or Bitcoin futures linked ETFs, and the idea that, you know, that could come for Ethereum perhaps next year as well, I think might be boosting a little bit of the action here. You're talking about the capabilities and why people turn to Ether to fuel some of these things in crypto. But that too, I mean, seems like a potential catalyst.
You're absolutely right, Zach. I mean, you know, everybody's taking a look at the Bitcoin ETF space. And for a lot of people, you know, hard wallet, cold wallet, what wallet? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, here's an ETF. It's part of the old world portfolio. I understand it. I'm going to onboard. I'm going to, you know, put my money into my portfolio in that space and diversify my portfolio. Okay, so that actually welcomes a lot of liquidity in that space. So that's a space we're watching. Of course, the SEC has to ultimately decide at what point they want to get into Ethereum futures. Right now, we're not even talking about Bitcoin spot ETFs. Right now, it's all futures based, and we're starting to see some of the limitations with ProShares coming out even a week after they launched their Bitcoin futures ETF, that they wanted to eschew the limits that the CME was going to put on just because of the volume of liquidity. But with Ethereum, that's absolutely right. You've got potentially people looking at this space going, ooh, what's next? Is it an ETH futures or an ETH spot at some point? Who knows? ETF that they can get access to. But I will note that, you know, Ethereum has a lot of competition right now. You've got layer two, that allows, you know, obviously more efficient use of Ethereum, right? So they're doing the work that ETH2 hopes to do for itself. But also you've got competitors like Solana and Cardano, which essentially is saying, yeah, you could stake with us. You could, you know, Solana is going great guns because they've essentially, you know, captured a lot of the DeFi market when, you know, layer twos were really kind of trying to make Ethereum more efficient. Remember when DeFi, you know, was really hot, and then people suddenly realized, wait a second, these transaction fees are so expensive because the gas fees for Ethereum are so expensive. So I would say that the future looks really bright, but of course, innovation, you're only as good as the code you last coded, I think, We're going to coin that, right? You're only as good as the last story. You're only as good as your last code. So Solana and Cardano,
I mean, you're talking about Solana, too, and they got the backing of Sam Bankman-Fried, too, the billionaire at FTX. We've had on the show multiple times, and, you know, he's a big fan of what they're doing and backer there. But, I mean, whether or not I agree to your point in terms of, you know, some people don't want to go too deep down the rabbit hole, but they are going to have to now, I think, regardless, because we saw Facebook come out and change their name and really put a point of emphasis on the metaverse. It's interesting, too, to see some of these other – you talk about competition. Yeah. Some of these other companies – or projects, I should say, that have been pushing into the metaverse earlier on. I'm talking years earlier, Decentraland being one of them, kind of this project that allowed you to buy virtual real estate in the metaverse on their chain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that actually popped off of this. And that was surprising to me because you'd think maybe Facebook coming in could be bad. But I guess it's investors taking that to mean it's proving the point that the metaverse is here to stay.
I think that point is very well made, Zach. Facebook, if you think about it, when they launched their ambitions to go Libra, right? This is the, was it a token? Was it a private backed digital currency? Not a CBDC, but kind of like competing with CBDCs around the world, potentially. You saw a really big boost in the market until the regulators came up and said, wait a second, you know, we don't want what essentially is a 2.2 billion person universe, metaverse, whatever you want to call it, to participate in their own economy without the regulatory approval of very many jurisdictions. And so here you are, I think the lesson has been learned. Meta, you know, I think it's really interesting. It's a very interesting kind of shift for Mark Zuckerberg. But in terms of why people are so excited, it's not competition. It's just a reinforcement of this business idea that increasingly more and more of us also want to participate in the metaverse, that there's an economy, there's a whole economy that's waiting to be tapped here. And mainstream names are coming into it, Facebook being one of those mainstream names.
And Angie, finally, it feels like we can't stop talking about Squid Game these days, but there is a now token inspired by the Netflix show. What's the big concern?
Well, how about a 25,000% increase in price? You know, you were talking about pennies for a token, and now it's, I think it's at $3. What is the concern? I think the concern is, you know, for outside people looking in, wow, like this is hype. This is, you know, what is this all about? Are people going to get, you know, duped? Whatever the case is, it's so fast. You know, all of the fraud that usually comes with like, oh, this is scary. The second one is Squid Games. Now, it's Squid Game inspired. You know, let's talk about the copyright issues. I think Netflix, probably lawyers are probably looking at the Korean producers are probably figuring out, okay, is this closely correlated to, you know, our IP, et cetera, et cetera. But Squid Games, it's like saying, you know, Tug of War. Well, like you can name your show Tug of War and then have something called Tug of War. It's kind of like one of those things. And Squid Games is one of those ideas when it comes to Korean children game culture. But when it comes to what is super interesting, Akiko, to your point, is there is the concern is also, wow, there's like massive induction of this concept of Squid Games token. So you know, if you're thinking about it from that perspective, ooh, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's huge. There's a lot of hype. On the other side of it, I think it really reflects what we're seeing in the meme coin space. You know, the Shiba Inu effect, the Dogecoin. I mean, all of these really started as a joke. A joke, perhaps that another generation might have felt was jokeful, right? But I think for increasingly a new generation of which we cover and who watch us, is that, look, this is empowering. This is everybody wants to participate. This is fun. Yeah. I can participate at pennies or $3 if I want to. It's completely accessible. And It's kind of, if you kind of take one step back and think of it from a macroeconomic point of view, it's very Sorosian, mm-hmm. right? You've got George Soros, who yeah. makes billions upon trillions of dollars potentially of making some hedge fund plays against the psychology of the market. This is the new yeah. psychology of the market. This is what this generation yep. is thinking about. The behavior is not mm-hmm. unfamiliar to anybody in crypto. So that's probably
we'll have to take guesses, Angie, on what's the next token here coming out inspired by I don't know, maybe a Netflix show. We'll see. Angie Lau, Forecast.News CEO and editor in chief. Good to talk to you today. Appreciate the time.